prayer. Father, we do praise you and exalt you for your working among us, for the work of sending Christ, God in flesh, to be our Savior. Lord, we're thankful that we can celebrate this tonight. We pray that this service would bring honor and glory to you as we reflect and remember what you have done for us, and that we would tell it well to others. May this be a good opportunity for us tonight to share and remember what our Savior has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are glad that you are here tonight. Throughout the service, we'll be hearing a number of readings of Scripture, a number of musical reminders of truth. And so you'll want to have your hymn book ready, but also your Bible ready, as we'll be hearing a number of passages of Scripture tonight. And the very first, that Joy to the World declaration, the angel declared to Joseph God's purpose and plans for Christ coming into the world. And we find that angelic declaration in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Brad Ball is going to come first, and then Zach Ribley in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18.
Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Christ came as Emmanuel. That's the statement made in this declaration. A man named Emmanuel, God with us. God has come in flesh to save men from their sin. And tonight, as we continue on in song, we're going to be remembering the greatest gift that has ever been given by recalling the greatest story that has ever been told.
Sin grips the heart within, a curse on fallen man. This pride and selfishness we hold inside. Though we were all condemned, we had a loving friend who came to save us. He lived a perfect life and gave the blind their sight, fulfilled the things foretold by prophecy. He humbly took his cross and died to save the lost, their sins forgiven. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to rescue sinful man, sent from the Father up above to sacrifice in love and take our place and give unending grace. This Son of God who gave his life and took the grave, obeyed his Father's will despite the cost. But death could not contain His power, His love, His grace, for He is risen. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how He came to earth to rescue sinful man, sent from the Father up above, to sacrifice in love and take our place and give unending grace. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus.
Take your psalm books once again and turn with me to number 229, Psalm 229, Psalm 229. You can stay seated as we sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, Psalm 229.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the
come, the rescue of Israel and the rescue of all mankind came in Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1, you will find the narrative of what took place when the angel came and spoke to Mary. And often we read that portion at this time of the year and reflect upon the great mystery and the great wonder of what God would do in this woman, Mary. But I want you to consider what takes place following the announcement from that angel to her of what God would do within her to bring Christ, God in flesh, into this world. And there is something remembered and shared in her praise. Praise to the Lord for His mercy toward her and toward her people Israel. Andrew's going to come and read that passage in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55.
And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm, He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath hope in His servant Israel, in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever.
A recognition of God's greatness is found in that passage spoken of Mary's thoughts on that night and what God had done. I want you to take your hymn book and I want you to follow along in Psalm 38. Psalm 38, we won't sing How Great Thou Art tonight, but our trumpets will be playing Psalm 38, How Great Thou Art. And I want you to, as they play, look at the third and fourth verses of How Great Thou Art. And I want you to think of those words as they play now.
Mm-hmm.
remembering God's greatness and what he would do. The Lord truly is mighty. The Lord was recognized by Mary in that passage for his might, for his ability, for his dealing with things in a great way, for demonstrating his holiness, for demonstrating mercy, for showing strength, that he would deal with the proud and that he cares, that he helps, and that he remembers his promises. Our God truly is great. And as we come into our continuing thoughts tonight of God's working in the Christmas story, do not lose sight of God's greatness in all of this. I know "How Great Thou Art" is not a Christmas song for many of us, but it really should be a mindset of God's greatness is on display in his work through the deliverance of a Savior for us. Notice now in Luke chapter 2, if you'd like to follow along, and Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Eric Cooper will read, and then Marcus Fair.
Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
The angel of the Lord proclaimed to those shepherds, Unto you a Savior is born. You know, that's a very interesting and exciting concept. The Savior coming and being born was beneficial for those very shepherds. Unto you, a Savior. Jesus was proclaimed as having come for them. You know, that's a very personal way to consider. And indeed, he did come for them. He came and came to save man. Not just one or two, but that his capacity to save would be to all. That whosoever might call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. The multitude of the heavenly host proclaimed as well God's glory and God's peace, that God sent peace that we looked at this morning that had come to earth through Jesus Christ. Joaquin and Juliana are going to play Hark the Herald Angels Sing, reminding us of that declaration by, they're going to play Angels We Have Heard on High. Thank you. They're going to play Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to sing along with them in that. Let's take our songbooks, number 199. We'll sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Song 199. Let's stand again as we sing. Song 199. Song 199, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Next, we'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 or 15 through 18. Nathan Harmon will read that passage.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and Mary and Joseph, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which is told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Can you imagine having someone come to you and tell you the things that the shepherds told of that night? The kind of wonder, the kind of curiosity, the kind of skepticism that might have been faced. Do you think that everyone who heard those shepherds telling what they had seen believed them? Or might have wondered, what have you been up to? In fact, do you remember in Acts chapter 2? When the Holy Spirit comes upon those men, they think of them as men that have drunk new wine. No doubt, perhaps some wondered that night, what have you guys been up to come up with such a story? But they're consistent in their declaration and they go out telling, proclaiming. You know, we have an opportunity to go and to tell what Christ has done. I know that this is not a surprise to you that I would share this tonight, that we ought both remember what Christ has done, but also share it. Those men could easily have remembered for years to come what they saw that night, but never told anyone. But they did not just receive something that they observed, a marvelous sight to hear those angels and the declaration, and then to go and see the baby Jesus in the manger and to meet Mary and Joseph and to marvel at all that was taking place and just hold that to themselves. The Bible says clearly, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know that that ought to be what we are known for, declaring, and that we would leave people perhaps with wonder. I shared this Sunday night from Acts 24:24, that when Felix heard Paul testifying of righteousness and temperance and judgment, that he trembled. He was impacted by what he heard. You know, that ought to be what people have as they hear us talk of our Savior and of what Christ has done, that they wonder, that they marvel, that they tremble even, that there's something that is going on different than what they've ever experienced or ever known. We often sing this song at this time of year, number 212, song 212. I want to keep you involved tonight as we continue in worship of our Lord and Savior. 212, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Song 212.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Wild shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. 'Twas in a humble manger that Jesus Christ was born. The God of
opportunity that we can be ones to go and tell that Christ is born and that Christ has come to die. Christ our Savior, the needed one. You know, the shepherds not only go to see what the angels proclaim, they go and they share that. They made known it abroad. And they are told a Savior has come and they share that news. And tonight, we're going to be observing in just a little while the Lord's Supper. And you may say, that's an odd thing to mix with a candlelight service remembering Christ's birth. I don't think it's odd at all. In fact, one of the mandates of remembering the Lord's Supper is remembering his death till he comes. What was the purpose of Jesus' birth? He came for the purpose of dying for us. In fact, in your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And I want to read for you something. We'll look at this in just a moment. And then we're going to sing a song, one more song in your hymn books. And then we'll take part in the Lord's Supper tonight. But 1 Corinthians 11. And I want you to read this and consider your Savior and his purpose in coming. As you read verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And the same manner, after the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And you know this, remembrance is the key element of what Jesus was teaching his disciples, and that they, the disciples, would go on in the practice of the early church, remembering what Christ had done. And this was passed on by the disciples. Paul, again, shares this with these believers in Corinth. The purpose of their remembering was not just for having a meal. It was not just for getting together. It was for the purpose of not forgetting the Lord's death. And that in the Lord's death, we're made right with him. That in the Lord's death, his body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. And as you remember the Christmas story, I think it's important for us to remember that Jesus came and was born to die. He did not just come to be born in a cute manger and for us to adore that, but to dismiss the cross. You ought to see the manger as the way that God would bring about the cross. And so we're going to sing a song before we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, number 198. And I want you to consider these words as we sing, born to die. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and then the chorus, all right? Verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's stand one last time as we do so.
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay, fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king.
On the second verse,
Jesus knew when he came, he would suffer in shame. He would feel every pain and sorrow. But he left paradise with his blood. My redemption to Jesus I owe. From the throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my pain
Before the men come tonight, I'd want to remind you just briefly of why we partake of the Lord's Supper and some things that the passage in 1 Corinthians 11 reminds us of that I want to take time to remind you of this evening. The Lord's Supper is a reminder for those who have already believed on Jesus Christ to save them. The Lord's Supper is not something that should be partaken of or be used as a way to be right with God by someone who is unsaved. In fact, salvation does not come by taking of the Lord's Supper. There are some that would teach that. That is not what we believe the Bible expresses, but that those that have believed ought to partake because of their remembrance of what Christ has done for them. That he did die on the cross for our sins and gave his blood to pay for our need, our sin debt. So this evening, if you are here and you're not certain that you've trusted Christ, or that you have not taken Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to not partake tonight of the Lord's Supper. Don't. This is not for those that are not certain of this. This is for those that know Christ has been their Savior, that they've trusted Him. You won't be saved by partaking of this. You won't be a better person by taking it or receive grace, as some would teach. This is a symbolic reminder of Christ's death. Christ is not becoming the bread or the juice that we'll drink, the fruit of the vine. He is the everlasting God who we remember what he has done for us by partaking of these things tonight. Now, in the passage, it says in verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, it's very important that we're called to examine ourselves. First of all, I believe you ought to consider, am I a believer? Have I believed on Christ? Secondly, are you truly interested in his purposes? In why he gave his body and blood? He gave himself so that you could be free. If you've trusted him as Savior, he's provided a way for you to go from dead in sins and trespasses to be right with him. But the person who says, I know that, but I don't care, I'm going to live in what I want, ought not partake of this tonight. If you're saying to yourself, I know what's right, but I'm not doing it and I don't care, you ought not partake tonight. I mean this sincerely. You ought readily recognize the warning that's in this passage. Our focus is on what our Savior has done. And so partaking of this is because of our wanting to bring glory and honor to the one who has saved us. We want to refocus our attention. And if there's an area that you say, you know, in thinking I am not submissive where I ought to, that can change in a moment, and I would challenge you to do so now. That is the wonderful blessing of being a child of God. Fellowship can be restored in a turn, and it ought to be, So examining ourselves, and then we partake out of obedience to proclaim or to show. He says that you do show forth the Lord's death. Another way of saying that is you teach. We teach the Lord's death. We tell others. Our children might well ask us, why are we partaking of this tonight? I would say it's helpful for young children who have not trusted Christ not to partake of this tonight. And if you're wondering, should I let them have one anyways? No. The reality would be, let them learn by recognizing tonight what this is for and why it is for this. It is for those that have believed. And what a wonderful teaching opportunity. What an opportunity for us to share clearly this tonight. We teach the Lord's death. We get to remind and share one another again why Christ came in the first place, why he has come to be our Savior, to remember the great cost. We often think of the great humility of Christ being born in a stable, a lowly manger, we might say. But do you realize, friends, the lowly state of his being born into this earth at all? His coming to this world of sin and misery and difficulty to find a way that God would make our salvation possible, we get to remember that tonight. We get to remember that God was satisfied with the blood of Christ on the cross, and we get to be thankful. There's much we get to teach by this tonight. And so, as in a moment we pray, I encourage you to examine yourself and also to recognize you get to gladly teach and remind and thank God for his work for us in Christ. Men, I'm going to have you come at this time, and we'll prepare for